So I'll say a few words about this auspicious occasion, and then Srila Avadhut Maharaj will also say something. If we look in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the pastimes of Nrisimhadeva and Prahlad Maharaj appear, what precedes this discussion or description is that the sixth canto has just concluded with the pastime of Dhritarashtra and Chitraketu. And we heard in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, what is it, Indriyari Vyakulam Loke, and the famous Krishna Stu Bhagavan Shyam Slok, that he deals with the enemies of Indra. Right? In this case, Dhritarashtra, it's a very complicated story, but very interesting nonetheless. And it's interesting, it's sometimes used as an identifier for Srimad Bhagavatam, saying, "What it is that book that contains the story of Dhritarashtra." Like, why that would be singled out has some mystic implication as well. But this perplexing story caused Pariksit Maharaj to inquire from Sukadeva Goswami, if the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone, like we hear, "Sang Moham Sarvabhuteshu." Sang Moham Sarvabhute. He's equal to everyone. It seems like he was favoring Indra in that story you just told. So I don't understand it. Right? It really seems like he was on the side of it, but we're told he's equal to everyone. He's impartial. And we should realize also, this is going to set up the platform for the presentation of Shuddha Bhakti. So it's really a critical point in Srimad Bhagavatam to build up to this. Just heard this fantastic story, this pastime, and now we're going to hear something even more extraordinary. And that's the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nitya Navana Vayamana. What you hear is newer and newer and fresher and more extraordinary. Who is Uru Kramang Gring, whose wonderful stride, what will be his next wonderful stride? Always a surprise. Vamane, one step, the two step, where's the third step? Surprise. Right? Uru Kram, Uru Krama means he of wonderful stride, or he of wonderful movement. Always. Systematically, thematically, Guru Maharaj is telling me, reality must be dancing. What kind of strides are those he, for him, of wonderful stride? Here in Brahma Sangita, that world, well, all gesture, all movement is dance, all speech is song. Right? Uttama Sloka Lilaya, one of Krishna, Uttama Sloka. You know, why so many slokas? His name is Uttama Sloka. He likes the slokas. We like him too. They're the perfect, the encryption of the glorification of Krishna, and just reality is streaming from them real time. So anyway, Pariksit Maharaj is saying, so can you, if there was some doubt in someone's mind as to Krishna's impartiality, could you relieve that doubt? Because they hear he's equal to everyone, but, you know, he's also Bhakta Vatsala. He naturally favors the devotees. That's a given. So Sukadeva Goswami responds by saying, well, these so-called enemies, what happens to them? They become liberated. As we heard earlier, aho bhakiyam stanakala kutam jigam sayapaya dapyasadvi lebe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kamba dayalum sharanam brajema. I say earlier because even though that will come later in the 10th canto, was dealt with earlier in the 3rd canto of Vidura, Maitreya, Urava. An ecstatic rapture saying, Putana approached him with murderous intentions, and she was liberated, given the position of mother, type of mother. So he said, if this is how he treats his enemies, this is the point being made, the enemies are liberated. What generosity. Kamba doyalum, doyal, doyalum sharanam brajema. If he liberates his enemies, then we can't conceive how he reciprocates servitorship or friendship or familial affection like that. So Sukadev Goswami tells, he said, it's interesting that you say this. And he begins telling the story of Shishupal. Right? And we know Shishupal is the ultimate blasphemer of Krishna. To what degree? Right? When he was a toddler and couldn't speak, he was blaspheming Krishna. Like little children who talk nonsense. His nonsense would have like Krishna and then something really horrible in it. Krishna. Shishupal. When he was a baby, he was blaspheming Krishna. But what does that tell us? You know, if we had brought in some psychoanalysis, they'd say, well, this boy is obviously obsessed with this personality known as Krishna. Right? So even when he's a toddler, he's thinking of Krishna all the time. He's absorbed in thinking of Krishna. So it culminates when Shishupal, we're told Krishna will tolerate 100 insults. Shishupal is insulting Krishna, you know, 50, 60, set Krishna keeping track, 85, 93, 90. When he gets to 100, he chops his head off. And then they see Shishupal's soul, like the Brahma Jyoti, appears in the sky, illuminating everything, and then merges into the body of Krishna, which ostensibly appears to be Sarupya Mukti. So, whereas I wouldn't worry about it too much. Yeah. So anything that's moving won't be good. Yeah. Avadhut Maharaj is forever the servitor, the facilitator, the impresario. Comes from it, that word, from Italian, to do something, that make things in such a way as to give a favorable impression, to impress, impresario. So, therefore, they saw this Shishupal, who is offensive since he was a toddler toward Krishna, he gets Sarupya Mukti. And he hated Krishna. And then the point is made about intense absorption. Narada says, yena tena prakarena mana krishna yadamayashayat. Somehow or other, the mind has to become absorbed in thinking of Krishna. And then he tells the story that, well, Shishupal and his cohort, Dantavakra, that was a particular birth. But before that, there was Kumbhakarna and Ravana, and before that was Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And this way, they're telling the or laying the groundwork for the Prahlad Charit, the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Nrisingadev. And so, because we hear, and somehow we see there's a connecting thread between all these pastimes. So it's Hiranyaksha plunged the earth into the nether regions, and Lord Varaha came to save the earth and to kill Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu was seeking vengeance, and therefore Vishnu was his sworn enemy. Right? So we know that to avenge the death of his brother and also to establish his supremacy, to be the Lord of all I survey, his supremacy in the universe, he engages in what are 1,000 celestial years of austerities to the point where his body was covered, there was an anthill covering his form. His body was totally eaten away. Somehow the life airs were still within his bones. He was doing this austerity that caused consternation to the demigods. They appealed to Brahma, and Brahma came to see him, and Brahma sprinkled some nectar on his form, and then his form reappeared in this muscular, developed to the extreme, like you could say the steroids of his austerities produced this extraordinarily muscular form, and he appealed to Brahma for a boon. And what was that boon? You know, he told, I not to be killed by any creature created by you. Brahma's the creator. All right. He wants immortality, but he knows also that may not be possible in the conventional sense. So he's trying to, through selective criteria, get more immortality through the back door, so to speak, by saying, I'll never be killed by a creature created by you, not in the day or the night, not inside or outside, not by anything living or dead, thinking of all the other things I can ask for than just straight out immortality. And with this contract, I've got immortality. And Brahma grants all these boons. And then we're told that actually in Bhagavad Gita, how is Bhagavad Gita connected to this? It says, among the doityas, means the demons, among the demons, when Krishna's the Vibhuti chapter, the different, of this I'm that, of this I'm that, and it says, of the doityas, the demons, I'm the devoted Prahlad. So, we hear at one point that Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu, is pregnant with Prahlad, but it's unknown to the gods that it's Prahlad Maharaj. They kidnap her and want to engage in infanticide, have the baby born, and then kill, thinking he'll be a great demon, the son of Hiranyakashipu. Nard Muni comes and says, no, actually, this is a great devotee. How great? We also hear in the Bhagavatam. Swayambhur, Shambhu, Manu, Kapila, Narada, Prahlada, Bhishma, Janaka. He's listed as one of the 12 Mahajans. Right? The great dharmasya tattvam nihitam gahaya mahajano yena kata sapanta. The great devotees who are delivering real, substantial religion So Prahlad is born, and parallel to that, Shishupal, who when he's a toddler, he's blaspheming Krishna. So when Prahlad went to school, you know, the Sanskrit alphabet begins with ka, that is the first letter. Ka ka, jajana, papa baba ma, etc. Like we have ABCs. I don't know what they have in Russian, but in English they have ABCs. Here, ka. When he'd say ka, his body would start trembling. He'd be because it made him think of Krishna. Even hearing the alphabet, Prahlad Maharaj is so exalted in consciousness that he thought of Krishna and he would go into an ecstatic swoon in front of his classmates, right? Whom he told when he would preach to them, Komara acharet pragyo dharmam bhagavataniha. When should you take up Krishna consciousness? Sometimes in India they say, well, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. First you do dharma up to the age of 25, then artha, 25, and kama up to 50, then retirement, and then maybe when you're in your mid-50s, late-60s, moksha. Somehow that part never happens. 60s, 70s, it's going far and far. That's not what Prahlad Maharaj says. Prahlad Maharaj says, Komara acharet pragyo dharma, dharmam bhagavataniha. You should take up Krishna consciousness as soon as possible, preferably in childhood, when you're a child. That's when you should start culturing Bhagavat Dharma, Krishna consciousness. So, but still, one devotee used to, Hridayananda Maharaj, he used to joke that so many devotees, like Pushta Krishna, who he was in his fourth year of college, pre-med, about to become a doctor. It's like right before graduation, Garga Muni Maharaj comes, preaches to him, he leaves everything, and within weeks he's in Dhaka in Bangladesh, in the middle of the Bangladesh war, they're preaching. Right? And there's so many other stories like that. So Hridayananda Maharaj used to joke, he'd say, so these parents, they wanted their children to grow up to be doctors, lawyers, etc., and they became devotees. He said, and now I see they're devotees, parents. They want their children to grow up and be devotees, and they become doctors, lawyers. And so Hiranyakashipu, he wanted Prahlad to be trained in his gurukul, but his, you know, like Shukracharya's son. That's the guru, Shukracharya's son, and some others. So they're going to train Prahlad to become what sometimes they'll say in India, a first-class demon. I can ask Mangal Maharaj about his nephew who comes to see me sometimes, Shagar, and say, oh, how's he doing? So they're training him to become a first-class demon. So the Hiranyakashipu wanted, you know, Prahlad to be a demon magna cum laude, right? So they're training him there, and then we're told the Gurukula teachers, they want to present Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu for like a, what do you say, a review. They dress him very nicely and bring him before, and he looks so cute and charming. And Hiranyakashipu says to Prahlad, Prahlad, what's the best thing you learned in school? Like I ask children that sometimes too. They say they're studying something. I go, well, what do you like the best? So Hiranyakashipu, what's the best thing you've learned in school so far? And Prahlad Maharaj says, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. To hear about, remember, to glorify Krishna, to serve his lotus feet, to engage in art. He outlines the 9 different processes of devotional service. And Hiranyakashipu was like, what? Vishnu, who killed my brother, that Vishnu, you've been polluted by the enemy. So he's telling the teachers, he wants to chastise them. He's saying, what have you, he's thinking they've been compromised. The very teachers themselves have been compromised. And so he questions them and they're saying, no, we didn't teach him these things. Then Hiranyakashipu is saying, Prahlad, where did you learn this? About Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Amani. Where did you learn that? Is this some, you came to this on your own conclusion or some other people taught? Where did you get this? Right. It has to be consistent with Krishna consciousness all along. We hear bhaktya, sanjataya, bhaktya. You can only get devotion from someone who has it. So Prahlad Maharaj responded by saying, Matirna Krishne paratakswatoba. Mitopi padyeta grihavratanam adanta gobir bisatam tamisram punat punat charvita charvananam. Matirna Krishna paratak svatoba. You can't get Krishna consciousness. This, what I have, you can't get this on your own. Right? It was Guru Maharaj said, you have to connect with the power supply. The source. And so, and not only can you not get it yourself by your own endeavors, even if you combine with others, you still won't get it. You won't get it as a group endeavor. You won't get it through democracy. It's not ascending pluralistic democracy, but descending exclusive theocracy, right? So, grihavratanam, grihavrat, those who have vowed, that pledged allegiance to the mundane, Adanta gobi bisatam dharmasram. And those whose freedom, idea of freedom is for the senses, not from the senses, they're entering into deeper and deeper levels of darkness. Punak punak charvita charvananam. Doing what? Simply chewing the chewed over and over again. Whatever little bit of apparent taste may have been there in the beginning, has vanished long ago. And he says, Natevitu Sartakatimbi Vishnu Durashaye Bahirartamanina. They're thinking that what the heart wants, how to find fulfillment, love, affection, that you'll find in the superficial, the external aspect of a thing, not realizing that it's internal culture. Sva artagatim vibhishnu, durasaye bahir artamani na. What are they saying then? Adant, no, he said that. Anda yatandar upaniyamana tipishritantam urudamni badha. He said, so it's like, what is this world? It's the blind leading the blind. What Sukadev tells in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, apashyatam atmatatvam, those who cannot see the self, the soul. Right? Right? For what Guru Maharaj said, Socrates had to die for. Talking about the existence of who can have no ability to self-see, to see the self. It's like the blind leading the blind. What will be the end result? And so, nice. And what is the solution? Prahlad says, you have to be bathed in the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee. An abhishek of Padaraja. Then you can have this. He's trying to think, where did he get that? Then we hear, when Kayadu was taken to the ashram of Narada, that there, even though Prahlad was in the womb, in utero, he's hearing all the instructions of Narad Muni. So then Hiranyakashipu realizes Prahlad is the enemy. It's not that he's just been naive victim and contaminated, but he is the enemy. So he decides to have Prahlad killed, gives the orders. They try and kill him in so many ways, to have him trampled by elephants, thrown off a mountain, speared, so many different things they try. And somehow Prahlad survives all of this. Once Guru Maharaj said, because here, what is this an example of? What is this sloka? Guru na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. When criteria for rejection, here, father, who should be the affectionate guardian, is vehemently, violently opposed to Krishna consciousness. The opposite of what the real guardians' duties and responsibilities are. So Guru Maharaj's making observations about this said, so what does it tell us? That if you decide to pursue Krishna consciousness, prepare yourself for a life of trouble. See, that's one thing we learn from this. Right. So the parents, they may also try to obstruct. Anyway, so Prahlad Maharaj survives the attacks of Hiranyakashipu, and this leads Hiranyakashipu to wonder about the extraordinary power of Prahlad Maharaj and to inquire from him, Prahlad, where did you get this power? And Prahlad's answer is, from the original source of all power. Where did you get your power? Right? Where you're getting your power, I'm getting mine. It's like the Dylan Thomas line about that force that drives the fuse in the green flower drive me. So that's a Brahman type description, but he's taking it deeper. And really, it's the same source. Where you get your power, it's where I get my power. And Hiranyakashipu, he is saying, oh, this God of yours, where is he located? Prahlad Maharaj, he's everywhere. When one of Guru Maharaj's relatives saw him becoming too, we're talking about relative obstruction, as one of his uncles saw he's too much inclined towards Krishna consciousness and renunciation, he thought to put a damper on his theistic sentiments. And he said, do you know there are some stars, we are from science, they're so far away, their light has yet to reach the earth. So if there is a God, we're so insignificant again. Do you think he has any time for people like us? And Guru Maharaj's response to him was to recall the Upanishads, Ishopanishad, tadejati, tadnayajati, tadure, tadantike, tadantarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasyasya bahyataha. He's saying, yes, he's very far away, but it says he's also nearest and dearest. Is there anywhere where God is not? Andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam. So his uncle was frustrated. Whereas Guru Maharaj would sometimes say, these arguments, how do they end? That man was silenced. He said, is there anywhere God is not? Whereas Bengali's teleprompter had, Swamiji, why we must go to the temple to worship? God is everywhere. Prabhupada said, so he's not in the temple? He's everywhere except the temple. That's interesting. God is everywhere, but not the temple.
In temple, you have to give donations. That's why. Yes.
So then Hiranyakashipu sees a pillar, like just like that one right there. Is your God in this pillar? Prahlad, yes. Once Prabhupada said, Prahlad could see Nisringadev peeping. And Guru Maharaj said, also we should not think, yes, he's everywhere. He said, but when that Nisringadev will come out of a pillar, that's because of the love of Prahlad Maharaj. We shouldn't think this is a cheap thing. Right? So Prahlad saying, yes, and we're told Hiranyakashipu in a fit of rage, he smashed that pillar with his fist. And then we're told a sound came out. A universal shell, heart-cracking sound that no one had ever heard before. This, like, the way thunderbolts crack the ether in the sky. This inconceivably loud and frightening sound came from the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu was like, what was that? And Nisringadev appeared, and we're told in the beginning, Hiranyakashipu, he was astonished to see this extraordinary form. As Jayadev Goswami wrote, Tavakara Kamala Bharayanakam Adbhuta Sringam. Adbhuta means astonishingly wonderful. Narahari, Nisringa, Narasimha, half man, half lion, keeping intact Brahma's promise, not by a man, not by a beast. Right? And Nisringadev, Hiranyakashipu, regaining his composure, he tried to attack Nisringadev. They fought for some time. Nisringadev at some point let him escape to add some drama, some play. Hiranyakashipu thought, oh, he's afraid of me. And then Nisringadev started laughing at him, but a sort of divine, wild laughter that gave Hiranyakashipu pause that maybe things are not going his way. Then finally, Nisringadev, tired of playing with him and seeing the right time had come, not the day or the night, but the sunset, right, that time, took him on his lap on the threshold, not inside or outside, and put him on his lap. It was not in the air, the sky, the land, right? And we're told, it says, Naka, Avakara Kamala, Kamala, Tavakara Kamala. Kara Kamala means his hands look like lotus flowers, but they have nails coming out of them. So if you can conceive of lotus flowers that have these nails coming out. And then with those lotus palm nails, he ripped open the gut of Hiranyakashipu, roaring, and blood splattered everywhere. There's blood all over in the Sringadeva, blood all over these lotus palms with the nails, Karanaka, and ripped his intestines out and wore them as a garland and started roaring. And the whole, he's so angry to see his devotee being abused like this. The, you know, beautiful, loving, devoted Prahlad, who's the friend of everyone, and is abusing him like this. And interestingly, Guru Maharaj in his poem to Saraswati Thakur, where he says that family life is he said friendship is the worldly friendship is deception, a colossal hoax, family life. And all these things about mundane relationships. He said, how we realize this? He said, by the radiance from the nails. He also uses Karanaka, the nails on the lotus palms of Saraswati Thakur. And he quoted this sloka with regard to Nisringadeva. So it's by those radiant nails on the lotus palms of Nisringadeva, these things are being revealed. And he's cannot be pacified. Brahma offers prayers, Shiva offers prayers, all the different gradations of devatas offer prayers. Nisringadeva is still roaring. Then Lakshmi Devi, seeing him in this mood, they're saying, maybe Lakshmi Devi, you could. When he's like this, I. But we're also told in another place that Lakshmi Devi, she knows this is Prahlad's moment. It is meant to shine a spotlight on Shuddha Bhakti, the pure devotion of Prahlad Maharaj. She could pacify Nisringadeva, but she's suppressing that aspect and sending forth Prahlad Maharaj. And remember, the roar that struck fear into the heart of Hiranyakashipu and all asuric entities was not frightful to Prahlad Maharaj. This fearsome form of Nisringadeva was not frightful to Prahlad Maharaj. Right? Once in this man in San Jose was taking a tour of the ashram and he saw this poster of Nisringadeva on the wall. And Nisringadeva like that, and the garland of intestine, you know. And he looked up and he said, well, he's not a happy camper. And I said, no, he is. So what was frightening to Hiranyakashipu was not frightening to Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj approached him, and he started offering his prayers, and Nisringadeva became pacified. And we're told he took that same lotus palm that had just ripped Hiranyakashipu apart. He patted the head of Prahlad Maharaj with love and affection. And we see in the Devapoli, Nisringapoli, where the deity of Nisringadeva is, it's told to be there since the Satyuga. You'll see, if you look carefully, Prahlad Maharaj is, head is bowed, and he's bowed at the lotus feet of Nisringadeva, and Nisringadeva's lotus feet are upon his head. And in those prayers, Prahlad Maharaj, he is outlining Janmaityanadi, Griyamedi, Sukham Mituchcham. Some of these slokas were very favorite to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Swami Maharaj. He's talking about materialism, materialistic society, but at the same time saying, but I feel some compassion for these people. I want to, I don't have any problem for myself, but I want to extend Krishna consciousness to them. So it's the basis for preaching Krishna consciousness. And there he also mentions all your different incarnations, Itam, Tiryag, Rishi, Deva, Avatare, all the different forms you appear in. And then he says this famous sloka at the end, Chanakkalo. And then in the Kali Yuga, you come in a covered form. So you're sometimes known as Tri Yuga, because that fourth yuga incarnation is covered. So this is taken to be an indication of the appearance of Mahaprabhu. Because what is he covered by? Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, the heart and halo of Srimati Radharani. So there's some mystical encryption in this sloka, an indication of Prahlad Maharaj's awareness of that. And he also has a part to play in the Gaur Leela. So Prahlad Maharaj pacifies Nrisingadev, and Nrisingadev offers Prahlad so many boons and benedictions. Whatever you want is yours. And we're told, Prahlad Maharaj, this is why it is Shuddha Bhakti, the beginning of pure devotion. It says, Nasa Britya Sabai Banik. It's not that I'm worshiping you to receive something. I'm not worshiping you in anticipation of remuneration. So Prahlad is a little incensed by this suggestion. This is part of the Leela, the pastimes. Nrisingadeva is offering these boons to him, and Prahlad Maharaj is declining, saying, why should the Lord will not give the devotees something that's bad for them. So why would you give me all these things that might distract me from your lotus feet and the holy service of your lotus feet? So Prahlad speaks very nicely in that regard, establishing pure devotion. And what if to answer that question, we can say, yeah, then why is Nrisingadeva offering those things? Because they will not distract Prahlad Maharaj. And when he realizes that all these things are to be embraced in seva, in service, he accepts them. And he ends up becoming a great king, and the pastimes continue. And so it's also consistent with the theme of Rupa Goswami, Nirbandha Sambandha, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha, Yukta Vairagya Muchita. What is Yukta Vairagya? Pujala Ragapat, Gaurababange, Matala Sharana, Bishayarange. That the objects of the senses and the things of this world are not to be dismissed from being employed in the service of Guru Gauranga Radha Govinda. And just to conclude, I'd say that, well, Gurudev told once in Sokal, he said, when Nrisingadev is expressing so much love and affection for Prahlad, he takes Prahlad and he's licking him with his tongue out of affection. But so he told Prahlad Maharaj, told Nrisingadev, and your tree, you appear in many different forms. He understands this is Krishna. Also, it's a form of Krishna. Although Nrisingadeva is generally taken to be Vaikuntha destined. Right? Still, in the background. So when Nrisingadeva, we're told after this, when my leg is falling asleep. He, in Ahovalam in South India, he washes his hands. That place, sometimes bhaktas, devotees go there on pilgrimage and they say, the rocks are red. from the blood of Hiranyakashipu as he washed his hands there. And so he's, we take it that this took place in South India, this pastime. So when the Sringadeva is flying back to his own abode, as he's going over Bengal, Gaurudesh, and Mayapur, saying, oh yes, Prahlad said, Chanakalo, hidden in the Kali Yuga. This is where Mahaprabhu appears. So Nrisingadev, he descends in what is now known as Nrisingapoli, and which was sometimes called previously Devapoli, because on surrounding hills, so many devas come. And while Nrisingadev is there, they begin the worship of Nrisingadev from all these different places. And then he, by his divine will, in that pukur pond nearby, some devotee bathing there discovers that what's now the murti of Nrisingadev and Prahlad Maharaj that's in Nrisingapoli. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he resigns from the government service, gets a transfer first to Krishnanagar when he's discovering Mayapur, the Yogpit, and in Swarup Ganj, which is nearby. In the morning, on a stone seat, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, eyewitness, the disciple of Saraswati Thakur, Parbat Maharaj, he would hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur taking the name of Krishna, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, like someone crying out to his beloved off in the distance, very fervently, very intensely, piteously, taking the name of Krishna. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur noticed that every day, 4:30 or so, Brahma Muhurta time, some breeze is coming from Devapoli and going towards Mayapur. And Nrisingadev said, by deep reflection, he realized that Nrisingadev in Nrisingapoli, he's going every morning to attend the Mangal Arati of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the Yogpit. So it's extraordinary how all these things are connected and linked. And as Guru Maharaj said, it may be that by dedicating yourself, pursuing Krishna consciousness, that you'll encounter so many obstacles. But what do we learn from this? That at the time of the greatest necessity, then what? Bhakti, you know, vignyashana, Nrisingadev. Those obstacles on the path of devotion, the devotee is accepting Krishna as their guardian, you know, that Nrisingadev will remove them. Hare Krishna. Jai Nrisinga Bhagavan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.